This quarter we're going to be talking about spiritual revival. And we'll be looking at several different individuals in the Old Testament and the New Testament who have either witnessed or experienced a spiritual revival in some way. And today we're going to what that means and kind of get a little bit closer to our understanding around spiritual revival before we jump into all of the examples that we'll do through the quarter. But before we get started, I'd like to ask Ozzy, if you would, to lead us in a prayer. Okay, well, when Andy had asked me to teach, and he brought me this book, and he said, "Hey, what do you think of this book?" And I looked at the book that he had, and we'll use that book, and I'll reference that as we go through. But I started thinking about the topic, spiritual revival, and it's like, well, what does that really mean? So when you think about spiritual revival, what does that mean to you? What does that bring up? What do you think of? Renewal? A spiritual awakening, okay? Okay, like a reset or a reboot. We do that with our phones sometimes. We get so much garbage going in there, and sometimes you have to just reset it to clear everything out and start over. What else? The new energy. So we're talking a lot about the revival piece. Okay. How does it go with the spiritual piece? So what's a spiritual revival? Spiritual revival, what does that mean to you? Okay. Okay. Okay, so there's some spiritual life, and we've perhaps maybe lost some of that, and it's reviving some of that spiritual life. Do you have to be all the way dead to be revived, or like what's the... Where's the point where, how does that work? Is it, can a revival happen? When can a revival happen? If a revival is that you've lost some life, it would be any time that you've kind of lost. That's right. We hear people saying, you know, they come in, they say, you know, that we've revived someone from the dead and we brought somebody back. You know, but there's the opportunity. At some point, an opportunity is lost, and we're going to talk about that actually in a little bit. Okay, so it's about bringing it back. It's about bringing some of that life back, the energy back. In a spiritual context, again, another question, is there a difference between being forgiven or restored and revived? So is there a difference between being forgiven and being revived? Okay, what do you think the difference? Okay. Did you hear that? Yeah, Ozzy? Okay. Okay. Other thoughts? So I want to make the distinction because I don't want any of us to sit here and think, well, I'm forgiven. Forgiven isn't the same thing as being revived or living, right? There's surviving and then there's thriving. There's a continuum. And we want to be on the upper end of that continuum always. We know, though, that we don't live on that upper end of the continuum. Why? Because life is hard. And there's a lot of things. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But for this quarter, I want each of us to challenge ourselves, regardless of where you are or where you feel you are in your Christianity. You ask yourself, you know, are you where you need to be? And you don't have to be as the prodigal with face down, right, in the mud, and just coming to your senses to figure out, I need a spiritual revival. I need to be revived. I need to take care of myself. I'm a little flat, right? So you might be just a little flat, or you might be flat on your face. Either way, I believe that there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about here that are applicable to each of us, and I would just encourage you to think about that. Is it possible to be revived? So think about being forgiven. There's times when you might go for a protracted period of time being, whether it's just flat or a little root bound, right? As the analogy was given, as a plant or whatever it might be. Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes you have a bad week or a bad year or a bad decade. People have bad decades, right? Or bad 20 years or 30 years. Is it possible to be revived? Right? If there's a difference between being forgiven and being revived, can you make it back to that point? What do you think? Can people do that, really? Can anyone do that? You can do all things through Christ, okay? All right, we know that in Acts 26:18, Paul there was just recounting his conversion and talking about his conversion. And he's talking about what Jesus was saying to him in verse 17. And it says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to do what? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Let me ask you this. Can you be revived and not be forgiven? So we asked about, can you be forgiven and are you revived? You know, are they the same thing? We said that no. But can you be revived and not forgiven? Does that make sense? okay? If you're not forgiven, there's no spiritual life to revive. Agree with that? So you have to be forgiven. Okay. You have to be forgiven. So if there's things in your life, I mean, that you at least have to start there. Right? I mean, to get revived, if you need the paddles, right, you got to get to somewhere where they have the paddles. I mean, if that's what you need. And so there's doing an assessment of your life and thinking about, where am I? And you have to do the basics. So we need to at least start at the beginning and ensure that we work towards doing what we need to get forgiveness and forgiveness from God. And here, if the Gentiles and the Jews, that was part of what Jesus was telling Paul, is that that's going to be your work. You're going to go, and all of those individuals, they can get forgiveness. Whether they get to where they're supposed to be is another question, but it's offered to them. Let me ask this, can you stay in a state too long, or are there things that you can do to where you are not redeemable? That you can't be revived, that you can't have... What does it feel like? Let me go back to that then. What does it feel like? How do you know? How do you know if you're revived? How do you know if you've been revived or if you're where you're supposed to be? Like, what's your marker? Is it that you are here? Is it that you're nice to people? I mean, what's your barometer? How do you know when you're there? Okay. So one barometer is that if you're living in sin, you turn away from it. Okay. And you ask for forgiveness and you move forward. Okay. So that's a step. How do you know if you're at your height where you should be, that you're at your potential? Okay, so there's forgiveness. You know, if there's something in your life you need forgiveness for, you need to take care of that. That's a step. Then there's knowledge. There's a whole lot of people who have knowledge. But you have to have knowledge, right? So that's another step you have to have. You're not going to get there in ignorance. I mean, the chances of you just accidentally finding yourself on the narrow road for your life isn't likely. So there's going to have to be knowledge. But then there's more. Go ahead and then we'll hit... that's what you were implying. So you have to act on the knowledge. Go ahead, Steve. You're being patient. Okay. Did the were there Pharisees and people who did a lot of good works? Did they have knowledge? How do you feel when you're revived? Okay, passionate. What are the feelings of being a Christian? So if you're forgiven, you have the knowledge of the truth and you're doing it, how do you know if you're alive? Because a lot of us, I mean, you know, you can drive, some of you could drive from here to Tampa. I mean, I know you drive from your work to your home, and sometimes you think, how did I get here? Right? I mean, it's a half an hour drive or an hour drive or whatever it is for you, and you know all the things, and you turn the signals, and you do all the deal, and all of a sudden you're in your driveway. Okay? We sometimes talk about going through the motions. And those were the right motions. You didn't kill anybody. You didn't kill yourself. The car worked. You got there. Kurt Shambly. Okay. I'm not giving the answer this morning. Okay, and I think there is an answer. I really want us to think about how do you know if you're there? Because a lot of the things I hear, and they're not wrong, we go to the extreme. Okay, you know if you're in the mud or not. Okay, well, being revived, I know if I'm revived and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I shouldn't be in the mud. Okay, well, that's a good start. And so you're not in the mud. You've asked for forgiveness, but we've said that forgiveness and being revived aren't the same thing. So that's a given. Let's just move that off to the side for a while. If you're in the mud, you know, you're in the right place too. Okay, and we can talk about that. And there's a journey. But there's more to it than just not being in a really bad place. Okay, and we have to know what that looks like. And the Bible tells us what that looks like. It tells us what that feels like. It tells us, you know, what we should be experiencing when we're revived or alive. Okay. I want you just to kind of think about that as we go. I want to move us through. There is a danger, though, in sitting too long in that space. You know, hey, I'm not a terrible person. I'm not doing a lot of bad things, you know, et cetera, but I'm just kind of going through the motions and I'm not really feeling it. There's a danger in letting yourself sit there. What's that danger? Or is there a danger? Disagree with me. Can be lukewarm. You're comfortable. So what's the danger in being lukewarm or comfortable? Okay, that there's no change necessary. You get comfortable. You think you're okay. He'll spit you out. The relationship suffers. Right, so you have to work at it, right? If you're not working at it, it currents, everything of life can move you around and actually blow you off course. Yeah. Okay. You're always moving, okay? If you're on a boat, you know that too. Yep. But be transformed. It's ongoing. Every day. Acceptable. Yep. Good. I'm going to move us on. But the points are, if you have sin in your life, and we all do, we all have, whether you have it today and you're engaged and actively engaged in some way, you need to consider that and take care of that. If you have and you feel, yes, God has taken care of me and He's forgiven me, that's good. Are you doing what you need to be doing to move forward? And then are you living to your potential? Are you living to your God-given potential? And how do you know? And how will you know? Something to think about. And if you're being complacent and you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? This is all I can do. I'm just good enough to get, you know, to where I am. And you know, we need to think about it. There's a danger in sitting in that space. 2 Corinthians 4:3 talks about how Satan can blind us and take away our belief. Romans 1:24-28 talks about those who exchange the truth of God for a lie and how God gave them over to a debased mind. Hebrews 3:12-15 talks about how our hearts can get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's sin. Other sin is complacency, apathy, you know, etc. Okay, I'm going to keep moving us through. These are just thoughts. I want you to be thinking about where you are, you know, so when we really go through the quarter. What are things that get people down? So what are the things that cause us to get to a place where our life, if revival is a bringing back of life, of spiritual life, an increase in spiritual life, regardless of where their starting point is, you can be in a pretty good place, but you can take it to another level. Or you could be in a really bad place and just get to, you know. But what are the things that take some of our spiritual life away? What are the things in this life that do that? Like, what are the issues as human beings we face? The real issues. Okay, life. What is life? You're right, life. And so what does that mean? Let's name some. Okay, what are the cares of this world? Okay, so job, finances, what else? Death of someone that we love or care about, right? What else? Health, sickness. So sometimes sometimes death is a blessing, you know. Sometimes sickness and watching either you personally or watching someone you love or someone you're caring for, right, go through an extended illness. What else? Relationships. Relationships with family, with friends, extended family, our children, our parents, our siblings. Anything else? Okay, influence from the world, so just being drawn away by things that might catch our eye. Disappointments, just people who let you down or situations that let you down. Or, you know, why didn't I get promoted? Or why didn't somebody come and talk to me? Or why didn't somebody help me? Or whatever it might be. Or somebody said something to you that hurt. Okay. Just being busy, even for good things. Okay, yeah. Okay. Just being emotionally discouraged by looking at the gravity of the situation or what's in front of us. Okay. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what's in your life. What is in your life? I mean, we all live very similar and dissimilar lives. There's things that are very similar across many of us, and then there's other things that aren't. But I guarantee you there's stuff in your life. If you don't know what it is, you're numb. You're not paying attention because it's there. There are things that can impact you and do impact you, and they impact you in different ways. So think about what are those things for you. Let me shift gears just for a minute, and I want to ask, so who are you? Who are you? Or what are you? We talk about, I'll give you a hint, we talk about spiritual revival. Like, who are you? What are you? Okay. Well, if you're going to try to jump in front of the lesson, you got to say more than that. So what are you implying by that? The fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so what does that imply? So what are you saying? If someone's saying, if I ask who you are and you say, well, you'll know somebody by the fruit of the Spirit, what are you telling me? What are you or who are you? Okay. Okay. We're spiritual beings, children of God. I'm going to do that because this is actually my outline right there. So we are, which is helpful because we're running out of time. So spiritual beings, we're told in Genesis 1:26, what was said there? God was going to create man how? In his image. What does that mean? How are you created in God's image?
We are a spirit that happens to have a body, not a body that happens to have a spirit.
That's right. So we are spiritual beings, and God is, we're told in John 4:24. He says that God is a spirit, and he seeks what? People to do what? To worship him how? In spirit and in truth. He doesn't want us to worship him in body. Right? So all of the movements or whatever, it's not about our physical body that God's looking for. He's looking for the spirit, the heart inside of us. So we are a spirit. We're first spiritual. Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells us that. But I do want us to think about, you know, that question that I posed, some of you may have been in here, but I mentioned it Wednesday night, is, are you a body with a spirit, or are you a spirit with a body? What are you? Are you a body with a spirit, or are you a spirit with a body? How do you see yourself? And when we're conceived, I believe the Bible teaches that when we're conceived, you know, God creates that being. He creates you. And He creates you with a spirit. I mean, you are a spirit. That's how you are His. That's how you're created in His image. Now, being created as a spirit doesn't make you a son of God. That's another topic, right? There's ways that we become the son of God or a son of God. And that's through obeying the plan of salvation. And then we become heirs, like His Son, joint heirs with Christ. Right? But you're not, that's different. But we're in His image. And that spirit, from the time you're that spirit is eternal. You are an eternal being. We are all eternal beings. It goes on and on. It's like you think of a hermit crab, right? When you think of a hermit crab, what is a hermit crab? Is it the crab or is it the shell? Now, it's hard to think of the hermit crab without a shell. Have you ever seen a hermit crab that wasn't in a shell? They're not actually the most attractive crabs ever, okay, just for the record. I had to Google it because I've never seen one. But they're kind of ugly. But it's like you being in your home, in your house. You live in that home, but the house is not you. As much as you like it and you take care of it, it isn't you. But this physical body is so overwhelming and it's so powerful, right, that we get that confused. We need to realize that we're going to move on. Look at James 2:26. What does that say? James 2:26. Okay. The body, it's a different lesson here, but the body apart from the spirit, what? The body apart from the spirit is dead. Is the spirit apart from the body dead? See, which one's primary? The spirit is primary. Right? The body can't live without the spirit. But the spirit will live without the body. We are spiritual beings first. And then obviously we know, you know, what do you feed? If you feed the body, you'll kill the spiritual. If you feed the spiritual, you know, your body won't die. You know, you'll do better. There's a lot of connections there. Need to feed them both while we're in there, but in appropriate ways. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us that our body will decline, but the spirit continues to grow stronger. Right, so as we get older, I mean, I went to the physical therapist for the first time a couple of weeks ago because my back's been bothering me. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, so here we go. I'm going to have back problems forever and all of that and numbness in my legs. And I'm thinking, I'm falling apart here, right? And so, thanks, Bridget. And so, anyway, but I go and I'm working on this and I'm thinking, you know, this is only going to get marginally better. I mean, there's only so much I can do with this thing, right? And the body is going to continue. And that's a little, you know, this could be part of the depressing piece. This shouldn't what makes you flat, okay? But it's really not going to get a whole lot better going forward. There's things you can do. You're going to manage it, but it's not intended to. 2 Corinthians tells us, but it's the spirit that continues to grow. It's the spirit. And grows all the way. There's another level after this. Okay? There's we all know, and for sake of time, we all know there's a big war between the body and the spirit. Okay, if you want, you can read Galatians 5, 16 through 25. It talks about how the body and the spirit war against each other. Right? Romans 7, 14 through 25, that's where Paul talks about it. And Paul says, how long am I going to be in this body of death? He just calls it. It's just how long am I going to have to suffer being in this body? But it's his spirit crying out. That's Paul. Right? But he's conformed in this body for this period of time. Can we kill our spirit? Pay attention to the words. Can we kill our spirit? No. So we can, I don't think we can kill, I don't think the Bible teaches that we can kill our spirit. We can quench the spirit. All right? We can suffocate it like to near death. All right. Yep. Yeah, I think in a concept, right? So we can be separated from God. If it killed our spirit, we wouldn't even have to worry about the afterlife punishment, right? We're not going to be tortured. We're not going to be, the hell wouldn't matter. We can condemn it, I believe. I mean, I think there's a line there, right? So we can certainly impact the future and the future state of our soul. The point I want to make here is that there are things we can do. We'll talk about it this quarter, and there's some of these life things that happen to us that will allow us to quench our spirit. And it's like suffocating it. It's making it really hard for it to thrive. And what we're trying to do in a revival is you're trying to facilitate growth and to allow it to thrive. And you need to know where you are in that. Are you quenching? And does it feel like you're quenching in life? How will you know if you're thriving versus quenching? Okay. We might have to pick up just a little bit of this next week. We'll see. But I think this piece, to me, is important. So when you why in the world would God create us this way? Right? Because we struggle. We struggle in different ways. We struggle over different things. But why? I mean, we're not an accident. I don't believe we're an accident. God created us exactly the way he wanted us to be. Exactly. I mean, I believe he created us exactly the way he wanted us to be. So this is by design. Like, he's given us this anguish with joy, and like, what is the purpose? Why would God do this? What is God's nature? When you think about God, James 1:13, when he talks about being tempted, etc., what are we told about God and his nature? He cannot be tempted. All right? He's not tempted, cannot be tempted, and he also can't tempt man, right? He is pure. The Father is completely pure. Okay. Then, we also know that He seeks those to worship Him. And He wants us totally to Himself. There's lots of scriptures in the Old Testament, even in 1 Corinthians 10:21 and 22, we're asked, are we going to tempt God to jealousy? Right? He's a jealous God. And that He seeks us to worship Him. When you think about what is our purpose, what is our purpose? Fear God and keep His commandments. And what does that do for God? I mean, what does He seek? What does He get out of it? He gets worship, praise, adoration. Right? I mean, that's why this what we're going to do in a little bit, it isn't for us. This is what He wants. And He revels in. Because He is the Creator. I want us to think about, what are the other created beings? So there's God in all of His pureness. Then there's what? There's angels. And what kind of form do they have? Do they have this same, are they in the same situation we are? A little different. They have free will. They have free will. The Bible teaches that they have, you know, a will to choose. But they're close to God. They can see God. They're with God. I don't know everything about it, but they can interact, okay, in some ways. And then man is made how in relation to the angels? It says he's made a little lower than the angels in Hebrews 2, 5 through 9, and in Psalm, right, 8, 4 through 5. God has very purposefully put us into a situation where we're even further removed from Him as far as a knowledge, not a knowledge, but an experience perspective than the angels. Go ahead, Leslie. Absolutely. And we are going to get to that His design is good and it's good for us. Here's what I want to think about because we're going to run out of time. We're basically out of time. We're going to pick this up next week, but I want to give you something to think about. I want you to read Luke 7, 36 through 50. Luke 7, 36 through 50. And I want you to think about what it is, you know, why did God make us the way He did? Why did He give us this body? You know, angels were spiritual. Okay, as far as I understand, they don't have a body like this. Okay, we wrestle between the body and the spirit, and the things of this life, and what God wants us to do. What is it that God gets out of that design? And what is it that He seeks? And think about even Leslie's comment: God is love. You know, He's pure, He's good, and He seeks those to worship Him. What is it that He gets from us if His plan works and we respond to Him the way that we're supposed to respond? And we'll leave it at that. Okay, a lot of questions. We've got a quarter. Thank you.